Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Make Onions Cry. I'm your host, Kat.
I'm your host, Angie.
And today we are continuing off of last week on friendships, and we're going to be talking more about sustaining friendships and how to actually, you know, be a good friend and know that your friends are good friends and how to just keep those friendships going, because it's not easy. It takes a lot of work, and it's not something that you can do for a lot of friendships.
It also gets difficult as you get older in life, so we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, it's definitely a big factor, is just time and prioritization. Something a lot of people don't consider, and unfortunately it does limit you to how many friends you can keep at a time, pretty much.
Right.
But let's kick it off with the question of the day. So today's, because we're talking about maintaining friendships, and I think that's a pretty achievable goal and accomplishment, just having those types of, all right, to an extent, I definitely think it would be. The question of the day has to do with accomplishments. So Angie, what is your greatest accomplishment? Has it meant as much as you thought it would? Is there anything you hope to do that would be even better?
Wow. okay. It's well, do you mean like accomplishment with like friends or just in my life?
I mean, it could be in your life. It could be towards friends.
I guess my greatest accomplishment, I'll just go with the whole life thing, was probably the job I have now, because I really put myself out there for that, which, like we said last episode, I am very shy. I don't put myself out there as much as I should, and all of my friends are very outgoing, very people, I guess. I was gonna say people persons, but anyway, you get it. So with my job, I actually like put myself out there, and we talked about this during networking too. And I made myself known and rememberable, and I think I'm very proud of myself for that.
Yeah. It's definitely a good accomplishment. I think for me, it would be graduating college, mostly because I did come to this country as an immigrant, and I didn't really, you know, my parents didn't know the system. It wasn't something that you save up for, you know, it's something that we were kind of figuring out along the way. And I luckily had my siblings that did it before me, but they also struggled a lot with it. And, you know, the system changes constantly. We're like a decade apart when it came to going to college. So it was a pretty big difference on that. So just being able to navigate my life in the U.S. and come out of it on top, I think that's pretty successful.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great accomplishment.
Yeah, go me, go Cat.
Go Cat.
Anyway, let's get into it. So we won't spend too much time on the early life, mostly because there isn't really that much that can be done to maintain friendships that is within our control. A lot of it has to do with our parents, and a lot of it has to do with school and where we live. It might be different now for younger kids. We can't really speak for that as well because of social media. But when we were kids, you know, you couldn't really go and Snapchat your friend who lives 2,000 miles away. That wasn't a thing.
Right. Yeah, no, that was not a thing.
We
were 8 years old.
No, it really wasn't. And so proximity is definitely a big one. We spoke about it in terms of making friends, but it also is a huge factor in terms of maintaining them. Being able to see those friends and just going out, playing tag together. If, you know, when you're young, that's a big deal. Playing games, hide and seek, whatever it might be. Yeah. I used to love playing hide and seek. That was my shit growing up.
Like, we played Manhunt.
Manhunt. Wait, what's Manhunt?
Oh, Manhunt. Oh my God.
What is Manhunt?
I forgot the actual rules, but I think there's like one person who, it's kind of like hide and seek and tag at the same time. So if you find some, like there's a one person who's like the monster, whatever it is, and then they're like inside the house, and Manhunt is like on the streets, like outside. And so you have like a block radius when this was safe, you know, back in the day. we would all go hide. And we did this in the not to flex once again, but in the Hamptons. So, in like a community. So we were like totally fine and safe. And so we would go hide in like bushes or like the pool and like all this other stuff. And if they found you, you just had to fucking book it. Like,
okay.
Because so it's like got tagged, then you're part of their team and you have to go help them look for everyone else.
Okay. So it's like a hybrid of the two. That actually reminds me, because like I've mentioned, I grew up in Poland, and I would go there every single summer. And what we would do, we kind of played a similar game, except for us, like if you would book it and you could hide again. But if you were caught, you were just out. It was still just one person as the seeker. But that's kind of actually a way that I maintain my friendships, because I didn't see my friends there for most of the year. Like it was what we were separated for 9 months, depending how long I went to Poland for. And one way that we did would, we literally would just gather around as a group. We'd be like, hey, cat's in town again. And my parents have a pretty big property there. And we had a lot of, I mean, you've been there, so you've seen it. We have a lot of trees, a lot of shrubs. Mm-hmm. And during the summer, they're all fully grown. Like we had a grapevine and you can go inside of it and all that. Like really, really cool places to hide. And we could play it outside and we would play it at night. So it was like 7, 8, it was dark. You couldn't really see that much. Mm-hmm. And it was so much fun. And that helped me keep my friends throughout childhood in Poland specifically. Because it was something that just brought us together every summer.
Right. I mean, when we played Manhunt, it was only during the summer when we would go to like the one person's house when they had the summer home in the Hamptons. And we would all just kind of be like, oh, we're all coming.
all right.
So that's where we all kind of bonded. And it was great.
Yeah, I feel like summers have its own rules just because you're outside of school. You know, during the regular school year, especially when you're young, a lot of the maintaining of friendships is just being talking to each other in school. And a lot of friendships during that age last either for one grade, because next year you don't see each other again, or they last throughout elementary school because it's a small school. And then I feel like it really comes down to starting to do the maintenance when you hit middle school, and then even more so in high school. Yeah. You do get more freedom that way. And you also get more decisions.
I feel like in middle school is when you're, or at least my parents stopped going on like play dates with me. Like if I wanted to go to the movies in middle school, I was able to go without my parents. That's like the time that they gave me a little bit more freedom.
Yeah, I mean, middle school was when I started coming home alone. Like, and my middle school was fairly far from where I lived. It took me an hour to get home. And I would take a bus and then a train, and I had to walk the rest of it. Because I had so much freedom and because I was so far away, I could do whatever I wanted after school. I wasn't limited to a time frame as long as I came home at a reasonable time, or if I called my parents that, hey, I'm staying out late, or can you pick me up late because I'm going over to X house or whatever. And it's like at that time I was going to Joy's house often, I was going to Brianna's house often, and like those were my two closest friends, and it was very common. They lived very close to the school, and either their parents would drop me off or my parents would come pick me up.
Yeah, well, I went to the same middle school as Eva, and guess what? She lived directly across the street from me. So
yeah, that's useful. I'm not gonna lie, that's really useful.
So shout out to you, babe. You're my one friend through this all.
Yeah, no, it's a big one though, but it gives you also have to start prioritizing, I would say, a bit, because you can't go out every single day. You know, you still have school, you still have your own activities, whatever the case might be. Mm-hmm. It's also expensive. You're what, like 12, 13 at the time. You're not doing God knows what, whenever, wherever. You just don't have the money to do it, even if your parents give you allowances. So it's just finding different ways to do things outside of school.
Yeah, I also, during middle school, was my big swimming and soccer stage. So I was on club teams, and I would have practices for swimming, I think, twice or three times a week. And then soccer was, like, every weekend. And plus, on top of practices, like, once or twice a week. Maybe once. It was less. But so I had those friends, but I was always out active pretty much every day of the week. But Eva and I stayed friends through it all because, one, she had no other choice, and two, I had no other choice. So
that sounds suspicious, but okay, proceed.
No, we would live across the street from each other. Yeah, we were inseparable. I mean, you know, the both of us were the same mm-hmm. person inside and out. And it just worked. We just made it work.
Yeah. And I feel like when you, with those types of activities, it's important because that's a good way to maintain those friendships. As when you establish the friendship because you had the thing in common, but you can also continue the friendship because you have the same thing in common. You know, you see each other every day, you're practicing together, especially for a team related sport. Mm-hmm. Like teammates become really close with each other. Like they become ride or die.
Not my teammates.
Oh, well, a lot of teammates. So not all teammates, but a lot of teammates. I mean, I've seen it happen with you know, teams I've been on and teams that my friends have been on. I mean, look at we had a flag football team in our high school and all the girls on that team, they were like, they acted as if they all came out of the same womb. They were so close.
They probably did.
Yeah, honestly. I honestly think it was such a cool dynamic. They really bonded together. They were so close with each other. They would all ride or die for each other. And it was, it's important.
I mean, our soccer team in high school was kind of like that too. It was like the same people.
Yeah, I was going to say like 80% of the soccer team was also on the flag football team.
We were included in that. So that was
okay. We were, yeah. I mean, what's it called? The flag football coach tried to scout me into the flag football team, but I could not for the life of me throw a football.
No, I couldn't either. I was like, no chance.
Yeah, no, it wasn't happening. No. But yeah, that good segue to high school then. I mean, with that one, I feel like it's similar to middle school, but just taking it a step further. Mm-hmm. Because now you have even more freedom.
Right.
And at this point, most people are traveling to and from on their own. Even if you're living in the suburbs, you're either carpooling or there's a bus picking you up, or, you know, you have your own car, whatever the case might be. And very often parents stop taking that responsibility. Parents just kind of take a step back.
Right. I mean, my mom used to drive me to high school and then sometimes pick me up, but then by the end of it or the middle of it, probably middle of freshman year, not even middle of high school, she was like, bus.
Yeah. It's like, it's parents also, like, they also reach the point of, well, my kid's grown now, quote unquote grown. They can do it on their own. And
also the traffic, awful.
Yeah, the traffic as well. And it's also kind of gaining a sense of independence. I mean, I can't speak for people outside of New York City because my experience is very New York-centric here. But kids in New York grow up pretty quickly. You know, we gain a big sense of independence on our own, and just it's just pushed upon us as a culture.
Right.
So that also translates into making those decisions for ourselves. And in high school, I feel like this is where you really, people at this point, most people have a phone, a computer, and we had access to social media. It was very, very easy to, you know, to talk to each other on Instagram, Snapchat. This is when they were all up and coming. They were all like startups. This was before probably Facebook.
Snapchat had the three best friends.
Okay. That probably is the reason so many people lost friendships. Are you kidding me?
True. But I miss those times. I was like, ooh, who's cheating on who? And I need to know now.
No, that was, I mean, it was such a fun thing to just look at, be like, what are people up to?
Yeah.
But it was also, I understand why Snapchat removed it. I really do. It makes sense.
I really want them to bring it back for like an April Fool's Day.
That would cause chaos.
I would love it.
That would cause chaos. I would love it too, just from the sidelines, because I would be free from the chaos. Like my Snapchat isn't anything spicy.
I lost all my streaks because I took a break and I never bothered to get them back. So now I'm just like, give me the drama.
Yeah. I mean, my recent drama for the last week has been just, you know, me talking about the same thing every day for like, just, I send one snap a day on a streak, and like the only person I snap consistently is Abby, and even that is like maybe 2 to 3.
Right. The only person I consistently Snapchat is Boat Guy, but we'll get into that in a different episode.
Yeah, Boat Guy's a good one. But yeah, no, it's, I mean, social media is a huge way of maintaining friendships. It's really useful for maintaining the friendships that are, you know, even the ones that are near you, but even more so for the ones that are further away. Last episode, I mentioned online friends, how I have friends across the country, you know, in Scotland, across the world. Mm-hmm. I also have family that live in Europe, they're Poland, France. And it's really easy for me to keep contact with them because I am able to just message them on Messenger, or, you know, play with them on Minecraft or hit them up on Snapchat, even text them. iMessage is internet. It's free. Yeah. Like, I don't have to Wi-Fi. Pay for an international anything.
Yeah. And today, actually, one of my cousins in, because I have a lot of cousins in England, as you know, but one of them had messaged me today just being like, because I posted a story about a mug that I had that had to do with Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I have the same mug. And like, we don't talk on a regular basis because England here, you know, right. He's also married into the family, but we were talking like all day today. Mm-hmm. And just because Instagram, and he saw my story and he just was reaching out. And then I was like, damn, I really miss them.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, recently there was an attack in Brooklyn that, there, you know, and I, my entire family lives in Brooklyn pretty much. And the first things my cousin did were like, oh my God, we saw the news. Is everyone okay?
Yeah.
And I mean, like, it you was know, so I was instant.
Yeah. I take that, I get dropped off at that train station and mm-hmm. every week, cause I go in every Tuesday, and Tuesday is when it happened. And I woke up and I was like, I'm not really feeling it. And I had a weird dream last night and I don't really want to go in. So I went back to sleep. And my dad was like, there was a shooting. And I was like, I know things. But it's so scary. I mean, my cousins in England reached out. My friends from the mm-hmm. internet, Steph, she reached out. Everyone was just like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, actually, yeah.
And that's, you know, that's the accessibility that social media just gives us. And, you know, even phones and messages, because some international plans aren't even that expensive. Especially a lot of, in America, it's a bit different. They are more expensive here. But when I was living in Spain, I had an international plan. I paid, what, 20 euros a month. I had free international texts. I had international calls. I had unlimited service internationally. Like, it was... It's not expensive in other countries, or not as expensive.
Right.
So it's very accessible and very easy to maintain contact, but that also leads to the point of you have to maintain the contact. In order to maintain friendships, you have to keep some sort of contact going.
Right. There has to be some kind of communication. Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be every day. I mean, me and Angie definitely don't talk every day. And me and Threxia, for example, me and her talk maybe once every 2 weeks. We text each other and we see each other like once every couple months. But we're still very close. You know, when we do speak, we catch up on everything that's been going on. We fill each other in on all the details, everything that's important. Because, like, you know, at the end of the day, you don't have to keep your friends updated on every little thing that happens, especially as you get older.
Right. I mean, you and I, like, we met in high school, late in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And we were inseparable after that. But then in college, we stopped talking. And then, we didn't stop talking, but we stopped talking every day. And then same thing with my roommate, Paige, in college. We lived together throughout basically all of college. And now we talk a few times a month. But we, like, keep each other updated. And whenever we do talk, it's just kind of like, oh, how are you? It's so normal. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like never anytime, weird.
Exactly. It's anytime a big change happens in my life. Like when I was moving to Jersey, I reached out to all my friends. I was like, hey, moving to Jersey, big life update, etc. Yeah. And it's like, it's one of those things where when you're younger, it does make more sense to keep contact just because it's part of the culture and it's part of, you know, status and hierarchy. And that's just the way high school or middle school is. But as you get older, you just don't have time.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing to consider as you get older. It's prioritizing who you want in your life and how much time you want to dedicate to them.
Yeah. I mean, I had a friend. Well, we had a friend in high school. And I recently cut ties with her. Yeah. because
I was doing the math there. I'm like, we had a friend. Who's the friend?
But like, we were like very close, I would say. And then, but it was draining on me because I felt like my needs were never met. And it was always me needing her needs. And even you told me, you're like, this is not good for you. Mm-hmm. And this is not healthy. And I mean, there are going to be those times where it seems like such a good, solid friendship. But if it's draining on you, you got to put yourself first. Mm-hmm. And I did. And it was very hard, but you know. I did it.
Yeah. I mean, well, we'll get into breaking up in terms of friendships on a different episode entirely. But that's a big thing to consider, you know, in order to maintain a good and healthy friendship, you can't have too much going on in your life. You can't have a close friendship with 15 people, also have a career, also be dating someone, and then also have time for yourself and XYZ. It's also, just
you
not
can't have friends who like expect you to basically be in a relationship and a friendship and a full-time job with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are not healthy.
Yeah, it's not healthy, and it's also not possible to maintain.
It's a balance.
Yeah, it comes down, and it's a difficult balance to do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that takes people years to figure out. It's something I'm still figuring out every day. I'm sure you are too, Angie.
Oh, yeah.
It's you know, every single friendship is different. Some friendships require a lot more than others. Like, mm-hmm. for example, I was mentioning Threxia earlier, like me and her, you know, talk a few times a month, and then we also see each other a few times every few months. And similar with Joy, I would say. Me and her also, I mean, we've been friends since sixth grade, but we don't talk every single day. We talk to each other when certain things happen, or, you know, just occasionally be like, hey, I miss you, how's it going, update me on your life. Yeah. And it's one of those things where we understand each other's time, we understand each other's boundaries, and we just make it work. We put we make time for each other without taking away from our lives.
Right. And taking away from their lives.
Yes.
Which is important too. Because Michelle, who I mentioned last episode, we've known each other since I was 2 weeks old. I think she was 2 years old. Or I was 2 months, 2 years, one of those. Mm-hmm. But I was young. And so I grew up with her. And we don't talk every day. We don't see each other every month. We haven't seen each other in the past few months. She came over the other day. We just watched movies. We had wine. We ordered food. It was like nothing. Like, we had seen each other every single day. Same thing with Paige. She lives in a different state. But when we do talk, it's like we've never not talked.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's one of those things that it's important to also make time for your friends.
Yeah.
I mean, as you get older, I'll speak from my personal experience here. I mean, I live in a different state from most of my friends. Most of my friends live in New York. I live in New Jersey currently. Mm-hmm. And even though that's a new thing, it's still, you know, it makes maintaining friendships a bit harder. But it's also important to have a girls' night for me, or, you know, a friend's night if it's other people as well. And I mean, recently I had a girls' night with my friends Danny and Diana from college. And it's like, I haven't seen them in maybe a year. I think Diana, it's been two.
Right.
And it's one of those things where we don't really maintain that much contact, but we would still update each other on important things, and we would talk here and there, and then we would meet up in person occasionally and do these things. And then same thing with my other friend, Joy. I realize now having two friends named Joy is a bit confusing. All right, Joy too, since she came into my life second. Her boyfriend was visiting, and, you know, I invited them over as well, and we had kind of a couple's double date, you know, night. But it was good for me to maintain my friendship with her, and it was a good way for her to meet Abby and then for me to meet her boyfriend. And we played Cards Against Humanity. Yeah, we played Cards Against Humanity and some other game for a few hours, and then, you know, it was good. It was a fun, dandy time. It was great, and it helped us keep in contact. It helped us maintain those relationships, because at the end of the day, we're both working professionals. We both work minimum 40 hours a week. We don't have time to be texting each other life updates every single day. You know, just, mm-hmm. it's not feasible.
Yeah, I mean, Eva, who's been my best friend along with Michelle, mm-hmm. probably the similar amount of time. I met her when I was two and not 2 months old. But her and I are the same age, and we didn't talk every day for a few years, like throughout high, started at the end of high school and then throughout college and then like until recently. But now we talk every single day. I went to her house a couple weeks ago because I went, as I said last time, I went through a breakup, and she was just like, come over and play with my guinea pigs. And I was like, this is therapy. And so I did that, and she lives with her boyfriend, and her boyfriend like sees me as his sister. Mm-hmm. And I don't see him a lot. Like, we don't talk a lot, but every time I see him, like, he's I would say he's one of my best friends, but like, because every time we see each other, he's just like, what do you need? Let me like help you out. The mm-hmm. two of them, they're like just so perfect. So I went over this weekend, but it was natural. It was fun because I love the two of them and they mm-hmm. are amazing. And every time I hang out with either one of them, even if we don't, him and I especially don't talk, but if I don't hang out with her for a while, it's always natural.
Yeah. And another thing to mention, you know, on the topic of Eva, because she is your friend, but I'm also her friend through you. Mm-hmm. You know, we met each other that way. And I started a thing where I was like, let's start a tradition and go to the aquarium every year. We did it for 2 years. Tradition broke.
We have to go back.
We have to go back.
No, COVID. It was COVID. Yeah. It's not your
COVID,
fault.
COVID destroyed the tradition. It's not my fault. Yeah. We're going to do it again this year. It's fine.
Yeah, no.
But that's something we did. And then we also went to Medieval Times, which is, you know, a really cool restaurant. It's a very much experienced type of restaurant.
We have to go back.
We do have to go back. Yeah. But it's also one of those things where just going out and doing things is also a very good way, because some, you know, you don't want to host people all the time. You don't want to make your space available. And sometimes you don't have the space available, especially if you're living with roommates or with parents or whatever the case might be. And going out is also a really good alternative. And there's different options for that. Especially in New York, speaking from my experience, there's a lot of free activities to do. You know, in the summer, there's movie nights that happen like every day, pretty much. And you can go do that. You can go, if you want to spend money, you can do a brunch. You can, you know, go to some kind of museum, whatever the case might be. And a lot of museums are also free. So just going out and doing some type of activity. I mean, if you're in the suburbs or anywhere else, then you might have to do something like mini golf, golfing. And I don't actually know what's in the suburbs, so I can't really speak for it. But just doing activities, it's a good way to break the tension. It takes the responsibility off of either party, and it gives you a mutual thing to, you know, do other than talk all the time. Because if that's something that, you know, you don't want to talk the whole time, you don't have to.
Right. And also texting is, to a lot of people, that's not really talking. To the younger generation and like us and like younger, it is talking, but like to 2 years above us, I would say it is not really talking to someone.
Mm-hmm.
So they really value phone calls and like actually going out and meeting up and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to take that into consideration, because Michelle, 2 years older than me, she's very big on texting, but also I know she values hanging out. Mm-hmm. And we don't do that a lot, because I get satisfaction from just texting her like all day. But I know for her, she would rather see me. I would rather see her too. But like, her first priority is let's hang out in person.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have older friends, I would say just take that into consideration.
Yeah, and I mean, phone calls as well. I know a lot of younger people are absolutely terrified of the concept of a phone call. Angie's pointing to herself right now.
Thank you.
I love phone calls. The other day I was just walking around, I called Angie, I was like, look at this.
And I was like, why are you calling me? What did I do?
Like, yeah, and it's like I will call people all the time, and I call my siblings all the time. That might be actually why I'm so prone to phone calls, because my siblings are 13, 12, and 11 years older than me, so it's a big age gap.
Right.
And I call them all the time. If I want to catch up, I don't text them. I call them. Mm-hmm. Or I go visit them in person. So it's, phone calls are also important. And they also give you an ability to talk. Sometimes you can't convey what you want to convey through a text message. If I'm being sarcastic, or if I'm saying something with an attitude, and be like, Angie, like, that's not going to come across in a text message. But yeah, it's important. I think phone calls are very underrated as mm-hmm. a means of communication. Definitely pro phone calls, pro FaceTime, all of that.
I think if I like someone romantically, I like the phone calls and I like the FaceTimes. Mm-hmm. But when you call me randomly, I'm like, oh my God, I'm in trouble.
No, I just call people.
No, I don't know why I think that, but I do.
No, I will call people out of the blue, be like, yo. Yeah, I also have a friend, Sal. He's actually a really good example of this, because you mentioned, you know, 2 years older and whatever. He's, I think, 3 or 4 years older than me. And, you know, he lives in, not Chicago, the other one, Ohio. That's, and he's such a big phone call guy. He will literally call me in the middle of the day, call me at like random 6:37, whatever, and be like, "Kat, what's up?" And I'm like, "Why are you calling me?" But it's very, you know, at the end of the day, I appreciate the phone call because it lets us talk. We catch up what we have to say. It doesn't last for however long. It's not a back and forth. We just talk.
Yeah, it feels good when someone just calls you, to be honest.
Yeah, it does. It's a nice feeling. It's, you know, you, if it's not expected or if you're busy, then be like, "Hey, can you call me back?" Or, "I'll call you back in an hour," or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, our friend Andrea calls me 7 times a day.
Oh, babe, my God, what an you. Icon.
Babe,
icon.
I love you, but the 7, make it 8. Anyways.
No, but the I need to talk about this now because you brought it up. The other day, I was hanging out with Angie, and she's getting a FaceTime call. We pick up. It's Andrea in the shower.
Yep.
An icon.
Yep, that was it. And Kat was like, "What, is this Norma?" And I was like, "Yeah."
Yeah. So... And, you know, like, everyone has their preferences.
But she just calls me because she's like, "Well, I'm bored and I don't want to text. I just want to like talk for like an hour just about my day." And I'm like, "Okay."
Yeah.
And we just talk while I work and she's showering, or I work and she's, you know, shopping like for groceries, or she's also working at her like new store and whatever. So it's very, but she does call a lot. And I love that about her. Andrea, mm-hmm. I love you so much.
I mean, my cousin in France, I mean, she's my cousin, but I still consider her a friend, I would say. Mm-hmm. And we maintain our relationship and contact. Like, sometimes she'll call me and we'll sit on FaceTime with each other for 6 or 7 hours and just not say anything. We'll just be there and enjoy each other's presence from across the world. And it's like, sometimes I'll be like, "Fuck," or like, "This is annoying." And she'll be like, "What's up? What's happening? Talk to me." Or, you know, vice versa. Yeah. Or she'll start cursing in French. And I'll be like, "Oh, that sounds spicy."
I mean, Eva and I were talking about this the other day. Like, when we were younger, like young, middle school, elementary school age, I would just go over with my DS and she mm-hmm. would have her DS and we would play for 8 hours next to each other, not speaking. We would just play the same game on our own devices and our parents would be like, "This is not hanging out." And we were like, "What are you talking about? We are bonding like no one else's."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and we I were. Like...
I feel like that, I didn't even think of it this way, but video games is a very bonding experience, especially now because gaming just exploded over the last, I would say, 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
A lot of people are doing it and there's different ways to do it. There's different platforms. I mean, me and you sometimes we're bored and we'll be like, "Hey, you want to play something together?" And we've done it before where we were both playing Skyrim, which is a single person game. And we were just on the phone with each other talking about what's happening and be like, "Yeah, I'm at this place right now." It's like, "I'm talking to the monks." And you're like, "I can't get up the stupid cliff."
We had a whole summer full of Skyrim just on each other's headsets, just not talking.
Yeah. And it was one of those things where it's like we were playing quote unquote together, even though separate games, but we were with each other and we were talking throughout it. We were commentating, whatever the case might be. And it was a good way for us to maintain a friendship.
Yeah, and also when we hang out sometimes it's like, "Oh, can we just hang out and not talk and just watch something?" It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
And we're so comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm. And that comes with years of knowing someone or just being having that comfort with someone. It doesn't have to be years because time doesn't have to be a factor here. But having that bond with someone, because I, like, when I think of my closest friends, like my top five, I can do that with all of them. I can literally just sit in a room with all of them and we can all just do our own thing and we would be very comfortable with each other. We would be content. It wouldn't be awkward and it would be a bonding experience for us.
Right. And that's, we've done that many times and we just hang out on, we're playing games on our phones, on our, you know, Switch, iPad, PS4, whatever. And we just in silence, but together. And then we're like commentating on what we're doing. Like, "Ha, look at that."
Yeah. Or it's like if I see a funny meme or a video, I'll either send it to you so you see it in like 30 seconds when you open your phone.
And I'm
or
like,
I'll be like, "Hey, look."
It's usually like silent, then I'll go, "Huh."
Yeah. Sometimes I like to send it to Angie just to see her reaction live. Be like, "I'm not going to show it to you. I just want to see your immediate reaction to it." Then I feel like that changes though. With people that are older, like it might remain for us when we're older, but people that are currently older, like our parents or even my siblings, honestly, because they're in their mid 30s, late 30s, it's a bit different because they're at different stages of life. You know, they're like, right. my brother is a parent. So with him, a big part of maintaining friends is being friends with other people that have kids. It's bonding right. over your kids and doing kid related activities, going on play dates with other parents and their children. And then when I was younger, I mean, you mentioned the story of how you met Chris on a family cruise or whatever.
Yep, I did.
And that was also a big part of my parents and them maintaining friends as well. Like, they would go on trips with other parents and their kids, and like, they would leave the kids to go and fuck off and do whatever. Well, not whatever, like, we're still supervised. Yeah. But the kids were doing kids things and the parents were sitting by the pool together. Like, the moms were reading, dads were smoking cigars, drinking beers, whatever the case might be. And that's an important way for them to maintain friendships.
Right. I mean, that's how I met Chris. My parents were like, teen club, you, me bar. And I was mm-hmm. like, how about me bar? Jokes. All jokes. But
oh, yeah. I mean, okay, sure.
It was jokes.
Yeah. No, but it's an important way to do it. It's like, yeah. with people that didn't have kids necessarily, or kids that weren't my age, my parents would still do it. Like, they would bring me along. I remember there was a few summers they rented out a lake house. We went to like Lake George or something. I don't even remember where it was, but they just rented a giant house. All the parents split in. I just happened to tag along cause I wanted to go fishing and whatever. It's like, I was the only kid there, but my parents, like, that was for them. That wasn't for me. That was for them.
Yeah. I mean, my parents are going away in like a week and a half now to mm-hmm. France. And they're just the two of them for my mom's birthday. And they're taking like what we used to do in high school, like a tour group. And they're like, oh, I can't wait to meet the other people on this trip so we can like have new friends and go to dinner with them. And I was like, you think about that?
Yeah, and then that also kind of transitions into even older people, you know, senior adults, I guess we can call
them. Elderly.
The elderly. For them, their maintenance of friendship, especially current adults, like, they don't know how to use technology very well. It's very difficult for them to use like an email or even something as even using an iPhone texting. Like, my grandma can't even use a cell phone to make a phone call. Right. I mean, there's some grandparents that are on TikTok and whatever, but my grandma, absolutely no shot.
Right.
And it's like, for her, the way to maintain friendships is the people that she lives around. Like, she sees them every day, you know, going around when she goes to the store to buy bread, buy milk, whatever. She sees the people there because they all go shopping at 7 in the morning for whatever reason. They all go to church on Sunday. They all, you know, sit on each other's porches, gossip about the town for an hour or two, and then they go home. And it's different for different types of elderly people, but I feel like religion is a very big part of maintaining friendships as like a senior.
Yeah, I mean, especially for our older generation.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely plays a huge part.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, people are definitely becoming less religious now, so it might be different in like 60 years. But the seniors,
like us as grandparents.
Oh my god, I don't even want to imagine myself as like a senior grandparent.
Type, we're like, God, who, me? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would be such a obnoxious elder. I already know it.
Yes, you would.
But no, like I, as I was saying, religion, huge part. I mean, my grandma, she would sit at church with all the other old grandmas. My grandpa, when he was still alive, when he went to church, he would sit on the other side of the church with all the dudes. Like, they were segregated. I don't know why. It wasn't mandatory. You could sit anywhere. But they all segregated themselves, and that's how they maintained their bonds. And then I also spoke to a friend who's Jewish, and this is specifically for Reform Judaism, and it's also her one experience, so take with a grain of salt. But she was saying that at synagogue, a lot of the people there gossip and chit-chat afterwards, especially for middle-aged women. And then the wives all become friends with each other, and they all play mahjong together.
Mahjong.
So, it's, I mean, I, apparently, hey, the one
that helps my anxiety like nothing else.
Aging is now okay.
I'll be in an old person's home, please.
No, but that's literally what they do. They play Mahjong together. And then the dudes also have their own, like, brotherhood, husbands with husbands. And Chu's saying that a lot of it has to do because the wives go with each other. So they're like, all right, I guess we're going to go with each other. But there, it's like a social club out of the synagogues. They all do events together. There's get-togethers. And they all chit-chat about their grandkids. They all compare their grandkids. Be like, mine's a lawyer. Mine's a doctor. Whatever. It's like grandparents try to outdo each other all the time.
All the time.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, that's also part of senior culture. That's how they maintain their relationships. And having access to community centers or even something like bingo night. I don't know how, you know, accurate that is. I see it in movies all the time, but it seems like a cool concept.
Invite me to bingo night, please.
Yeah.
I want to go.
I would play. I would hardcore play bingo with seniors.
Oh, I would too. I would love it.
Yeah. But I feel like that kind of makes a full circle in regards to proximity. Yeah. You know, you start off your life by maintaining friendships with proximity, whoever's close to you, whoever your parents let you to proximity in terms of who's in your community when you're old and, you know, frail or whatever. Not frail, some older people are jacked. But it's like whoever's in your proximity, in your community, whoever does the things that you're doing as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. I mean, as soon as you get older, you have like those, I feel like as a senior, you have a few of the close friends, like, like a very few who may not be in your immediate community, but you keep tabs with, but mainly it's who you're around.
Yeah. And as a senior as well, you know, people are starting to die. That's the time of your life where, you know, it's over. You know, you've lived your life, you've lived it to the fullest, and you start losing those friends, not because you want to, but because they disappear, they die.
Right.
So it's also one of those things where you can't, you know, throw everything out there for that. There have to be other ways to sustain that.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
What a great note to end off on.
What a great note, death.
Yeah, and like on to, you know, wrapping up death.
Wrapping up, we're all gonna die, and
but yeah, on a serious note though, we are gonna wrap up.
Yep.
So thanks for tuning in, everyone. This was definitely a fun two-parter to talk about. Friendships are a huge category. It's a never-ending discussion. There's always so much more to be said. And we're definitely going to revisit this topic in the future for different segments and, you know, maybe even update our current list down rundown of making friends and maintaining friends. But
who knows? Kat and I may not be friends.
Stay tuned on next episode.
Dun-dun.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Peace out.
Bye.